Well, again, welcome. This is Paul Clark, one of our guest speakers here at CTK. Paul, welcome to the stage. We're so happy you're up here today. I do just want to pray for you and the message God's put in your heart before we get going. So let's pray. God, we just thank you for your spirit being in the room. Thank you for bringing Paul to the stage this morning. We pray that you would just be present in this message today, Father, that you would speak through his heart, speak through the words that you've given him, and that this word would just land on hearts, Father, that it would just change lives, that it would move our lives into what you called us to be a part, and that we would just feel your love, the passion of your heart for our lives. And Father, just the wisdom that you have through this message, we just thank you for Paul and just bless this message today. In your name we pray, amen. Thanks, Paul. Take it away.
Thanks, Dave. This weekend is a time of celebration of freedom for us as Americans. There was a day when the leaders of our potential nation, a group of colonies, decided to seek freedom from oppression. We, the people, began that declaration. That day on July 4th marked the beginning of an experiment. Valiant, but flawed. Marked by freedom, but marred by injustice. One of our freedoms, though, is the freedom to learn from our past. And as we're learning some of the facts about our own past, some of those are uncomfortable. May we continue to put into practice those things that God is teaching us. May you find lessons in your life and put them into practice so that we together can make our nation better, can make our community better, can make our neighborhoods better. We come to this 4th of July weekend, and as we're coming out of it, the recent weeks have been a reminder of the flaws and injustices that we live with in our nation. Some of them have been hidden within our hearts. But as God is working in our hearts, he's bringing us to recognize where we need his freedom to be able to make our city, our community, our neighborhoods better. So as you're discovering those flaws, also discover in Jesus the freedom to change. So we celebrate that declaration this weekend. And all that has gone into making our lives, lives of freedom. And rightly so that we celebrate together, gathered here on the South Tryon campus or gathered there online in our online campus, in your homes or wherever you may be. We join together as God's people who have made us free because there was a day when Jesus made a declaration for our freedom. His declaration was, "It is finished." And in that, we have life, we have freedom, and we have his grace in order to help us to learn to live in new ways. Well, as we think about slowing down, we come to this time out of a time of forced slowdown. When actually inside our hearts we're looking for summer and we're looking to ramp up the speed and we're looking to accelerate into life. And God is saying to us today, slow down. The Spirit is telling his church, slow down. And as we slow down, we can walk with God and see him enter into our lives and make a change in our neighborhoods. Today we begin to focus on what God would say as we hit the summer, as we step up the pace. But he wants us to slow down the pace so that we can be his people on mission in our community through this summer. And not just through this summer, through the rest of the year, through the rest of the decade, through the rest of our lives. One of our series verses comes from a letter that Jeremiah wrote to God's people in exile. And he said to them, You need to slow down. He said, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. God has sent us into our communities. God has made us part of neighborhoods so that we, as we seek the welfare of our neighborhoods, God also brings to us his blessing. In the same vein, Jesus said, for us to love God with all our hearts, our soul, our mind, and our strength. To put all of our being into loving God. And Jesus reminds us that that love for God then needs to carry out into love for neighbor. And we're learning what that means to have love for neighbor. This is one of those signs of loving our neighbor. How else are we learning to love our neighbors as ourselves? May we learn how his Spirit will make us his living and loving presence right here where we are. I want to encourage you, as we go through this message this morning, to grab the notes that are there on the app or alongside on the online campus. Click on the note tab and you'll see the notes. And you can take your notes right there. Join us together as we gather around God's word for these next few moments. Abraham. Maybe you don't know Abraham, but Abraham was one of those figures in the Old Testament who learned to walk with God in his neighborhood. And as he learned to walk with God, he saw God do some fantastic things. What can we learn from Abraham this morning? Abraham lived in a land that was not known for its love for God. And God spoke to him one day and said, Abraham, I want you to move to another land, also a land that does not know me. But I want you to be a blessing to everyone in that land. And as Abraham got up and moved, as Abraham moved beyond that land that was far away, walked across the desert, came into this new land, and as he was there, it was probably strange. Maybe you have felt that when you've moved. Strange language or accent. Customs were different. Even the food tasted different. Abraham had to learn to slow down to walk with God. And as we slow down to walk with God, we too can live sent. We can live sent into our neighborhoods, into our community, into Charlotte and the greater area, into your community, wherever you are. When we realize that God has called us into this relationship with him, he then sends us to where we are. Called means to live sent, to be a purposeful presence, not a hurried absence. So easy as we hurry through life to drive into our driveway, open up the garage door, drive in, close the garage door, and say, whew, I've made it home. And God says, I want to send you out. So Abraham followed God's calling, and God said to him, I want to make you a blessing right where you are. So I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. He had to start to stay. Not only learn to be sent, but as he was sent, he had to stay. And it's interesting, when you grab Genesis chapter 13, you see, he says, arise, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. Four simple steps to live sent where he was. Arise, walk, settle, and build. You know, as I think of arising, Abraham had to lift up his eyes and see what was around. As you get up each day and arise, what do you see? How do you see God at work around you? Walk. We get up and we walk out of the house, and as we walk into our day, do you realize that as you walk into your day, you are Jesus walking into your community? But that requires that we settle into our community, that we be there. You and I don't build our tents in our neighborhoods. We have houses. But as we are settled in, we make those places our home. I know when we moved into our home, one of the first things we tried to do was to put up some pictures on the wall so that it would feel like home. And it's interesting, as people come into our home, they see some of those, and there are all sorts of stories behind those pictures. Settle in. Build. But not build a kingdom. Build an altar. Build God into your neighborhood. Arise, walk, settle, and build. Bringing God into your life so that God moves into your neighborhood. Jesus brought God into the neighborhood. Interesting, that verse in the first chapter of John describing the incarnation. It says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of God, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. He came here and set up shop in our neighborhood. He pitched his tent among us. God came here. Jesus came close to make God known in our neighborhoods. And we see God through his grace and his glory as Jesus is in our lives. And when Jesus is in your life, God comes to your neighborhood through you to make his presence purposefully felt right there. Today, we enter a new reality. Whether you know it or not, today we enter a new reality. Because as God is speaking to you right now through his word, he's saying, I want to make your presence in your neighborhood new. I want you to be my presence right there where you live. So, begin to look at your life in your neighborhood in a new way. Begin to look at it as God making his presence known right there where you live. In our lives, Karen and I have moved here to Charlotte just over 2 years ago. But for the 3 years prior to that, as we were in Indy, God was teaching us to build bridges to the people that live near us. God was teaching us how to reach out and to touch the lives of those who were next door, the people who were very different than we. God was preparing us for something, because that's what God does. God is always preparing us to move on into something new. And he continues to teach us to live called and sent in our neighborhood right here. One of the ways that Karen and I have slowed down to live sent right here in our neighborhood is to put a bench in our front yard. Now, we've got a beautiful backyard, patio. We love the ambiance in our backyard. But God showed us that we needed to put a bench in our front yard and to choose time and time again to go and sit on that bench in our front yard so that we can be in our neighborhood, purposefully present to bring Jesus into our neighborhood. And what kinds of conversations have been sparked by just sitting there on a bench with a book, and people have come up and asked us questions. People have come up to talk to us. We're learning to see how God is shaping us in our new neighborhood. So for you, how are you going to arise and walk and settle and build today. When we perceive that Christ is in us, it's not only the hope of glory, but it is the hope of Christ present in our day. We as individuals, as a church, take that hope to where we are. So as you think about your neighborhood, as you think about where you live, where you walk, where you work, what's something you like about your neighborhood, about your city, your community? Name it. I love that we have parks that it's easy to walk in. One of our favorite places is to go to Freedom Park and to walk around the lake. What's your favorite place in Charlotte or Fort Mill or Lake Wylie or where you live? What's your favorite place? Name it and enjoy it. What's something that pains you about your city? What's something that pains you about your community, your neighborhood? A few weeks ago, we had a moment of feeling that pain as one of our neighbors was touched by violence in the midst of this racial unrest time. We spoke to him and found out that after 20 years in the neighborhood, this was the first time that something like that had happened. What do you enjoy about the city, your neighborhood? What pains you? What would God want you to do to be his presence, his purposeful presence right there? When we slow down to walk with God, we can be sent, but we can also be interruptible. You say, hold it, that's kind of strange, to be interruptible. Well, to slow down, to live aware, to notice, to be present also means that we also will be interrupted as God works in our neighborhood. To be available for God to use is the opposite of being preoccupied and busy. Being available means that when God interrupts our lives, we respond and we take on that time as a time for God to be present right there where we are. Abraham was going about his business, and a messenger came. Abraham's tent was visited frequently by visitors. And one of those visitors brought a message. It was a message that his nephew, Lot, had been taken captive. Now, Lot had gone and lived in a neighboring city and had chosen to not live with his uncle. The message came that Lot and his family had been taken. Abraham gathered his people together and they went. You see, at that moment, Abraham received an interruption. But it was an interruption to be able to serve someone else. There was another messenger that came one day. Actually, there were three of them. They came all together and they came with a message. Abraham, you have received the promise from God. And you have been waiting for decades for this promise. By this time next year, you will have a son. Now, when he received those messengers, he didn't know what that interruption was going to be. As he neared 100 years of age, finally God fulfilled his promise of a son. A few years later, Abraham was enjoying that son. As I have enjoyed living with my kids and raising them and seeing them grow and now seeing my grandkids, it's so much fun to raise kids and to see them growing. But God interrupted Abraham's life. One day he said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your son, and offer him as a sacrifice. Your only son, the son of the promise, the son that you waited for so long. What an interruption. Abraham responded with faith to that interruption. Walked out, took his son, and walked up the mountain. And that day, His faith was responded to by God's deliverance. What a reminder for us. As we hear God interrupt our lives, there are times that he will interrupt our lives for us to serve someone else. But there are times that God will interrupt our lives, and it will take a great step of faith on our part. Because God is asking us to step into something bigger than you and I have capability to do. So when God interrupts, let us enter into what God is doing. Interestingly, Jesus tells us that as he was serving, as he was ministering, he was only able to work as his Father worked. In John 5:19, we read, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. You and I, when we begin to see God interrupt our lives, we begin to discover that God is at work around us, and he's asking us to join in what he is doing. God often interrupted the life of Jesus. People in need. People needing to learn. So Jesus would often be teaching them. And one of those days in the middle of teaching, there were children that started to run up. And the disciples were trying to shoo them away. But Jesus said, no, this is an interruption by God. And he gathered those children onto his lap and he blessed them. And then he said, blessed are the children because they receive my kingdom. You have to become like them. Or one day in a multitude, as he was walking down the road, there was a woman that needed healing. And she could have been healed silently. But in that moment of receiving the healing, Jesus felt the interruption. And he spoke to her and reminded her of her faith. And that lesson speaks to us. We too can do nothing of real effect without God working with us. But when he interrupts our lives, he wants us to join in what he is doing. So take that step of faith and enter into something bigger than you would have ever imagined. Karen and I came to Charlotte obliged by my job move, but wanting to follow God. And as we followed God, he led us into our neighborhood just across the street. But that sense of calling, knowing that he had sent us to this neighborhood, shapes how we live in the neighborhood. And we're learning these days about being interrupted. One day, I was working in the yard, busily working, and God pointed out somebody walking by that I hadn't met yet. And as I lifted my eyes, I stood up and I moved in their direction and they paused. You know, that pause that says to you, speak to me. I met a couple that lives just down the street from us. We hadn't met them before. We've had an opportunity to serve them in some small ways, but God is opening up doors. As we allow him to interrupt our busyness so that we can reach, converse, and be God's hand touching the lives of people in our neighborhood. Once we grasp that we are called to our neighborhood, we notice God working, and we let those interruptions become opportunities for God to use us right there. One of the things that Karen and I have been doing, not only for our exercise, we walk several times a week, but God has been shaping some of how we walk. So we walk on a mission to get our exercise. And very often when we walk on a mission, it's early in the morning, and we're out there and we want to keep the pace up. We're checking the pace when we get back to the house. Did we get it? Did we get down? Did we get it to the point where we want? But the Lord showed us that we need to walk in our neighborhood with a mission. To notice people. To be interruptible. To notice those moments when we could stop and be invited by a neighbor into their home. When we could be able to serve someone in need. To be interrupted in the midst of the day. So as you walk with God in your neighborhood, may He give you awareness of His working and interrupt your life for Him. So as we slow down to walk with God, we can live sent, we can be interruptible, and we can express hospitality. You see, living sent and allowing God to interrupt us, God creates opportunities. But we need to be willing to take the next step. Hospitality is being contagious. Not COVID-19, no. But you know what we're doing these days to prevent the spread of the contagion of COVID-19? Social distancing. But for us to be Jesus contagious, we have to be in contact. Yes, continue to practice the social distancing, but we need to connect with people in a way that we can touch them and we can reach to them, even if it's just heart to heart. Or as Karen has learned to do in the hospital, an abrazo from a distance with some of the people she works with. To be contagious is to be fully present. Purposefully present, fully present in the midst of that moment. Abraham's life in that valley was a life of influence. He touched the lives of people all over that valley. And so it was that he was called in to rescue some. He was called in to be able to go and represent the people to the king and to take a present to them. He was the one who was the man of influence. But where did that influence grow from? It grew from Abraham having a tent that was a tent of hospitality. Guests would come, and they would always be received and made welcome, and they would always be fed. It's interesting how God uses food. Food is one of those things that helps to build bridges. Abraham was an influence where he was as he opened his tent, provided an opportunity for conversation over a meal. It's amazing what happens when you sit and eat together. But you know, when Abraham was that influence there, it was because God had said, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. When the people that grew from Abraham's family were no longer a blessing, God sent them to exile, sent them to a new neighborhood, moved them. And Jeremiah sends them this letter to encourage them to be sent, to be interruptible, to be hospitable. Bless the city where you live. That's my adaptation of work for the welfare of the city. Yes, God has blessed us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have been blessed immensely. So as God takes us into our neighborhoods, may we be that kind of blessing, as Paul reminds us in Romans 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Hospitality is just being open to sit and eat. One of those things that we've done in our neighborhood is invite people to share some ribs when we put them on the grill. You know, a rack of ribs is bigger than two people can eat. So, share them. God had been tugging on our hearts about hospitality in Indianapolis before moving here. But we've been seeing how God uses hospitality to build bridges. That's God's way to build bridges. It's God's way to change the world. One of the best things to build bridges is over food. And there's something about it. You know, we can want to talk a lot, but when we put the fork in the food and the food in the mouth, there's something that's difficult to keep talking when you've got a fork full of food in your mouth. It gives the other an opportunity to speak. And it's in that opportunity to speak that we learn from the other. I remember a time sitting at our table. There was a family that had come to eat. We would have spaghetti and meatballs and simple meal to fix, and spaghetti and meatballs and garlic bread. And we just had fun together. We were eating. And we learned that the wife had grown up in the mountains of Southern Virginia. And she'd learned to play some musical instruments there that I had never heard of. We asked her, "Would you play for us?" Well, she said, "I don't have it here," but we did hear her. As a result of that, over the course of the next months, she began to play with our worship team, adding in a tone of music that if it hadn't been for a meal over a plate of spaghetti, we may never have found out. I've met some of you as my brothers and sisters here sitting over a plate of spaghetti in our dining room and have learned how God has connected your lives with other people, how God has been working in you. And it's so great to hear those stories. May God make us a people that He has called to send, to be interrupted, to be hospitable right there where we live. May that sense of His presence in us touch other people. Abraham was sent to a land that was not his home. He lived there aware of the opportunities because God had called him and sent him there. He was interrupted in the course of living to serve God and others. He lived contagious and hospitable, and he saw God work through his life. You too have been called, sent to your neighborhood, sent to a new land. May that neighborhood, even if you've lived there for 20 years, become a new place to you today as you see God working through you to come into your neighborhood. You too have been called, sent. Be aware of what God is doing. Let Him interrupt you so that you can extend yourself and build bridges to those around you through hospitality. Maybe you're here today, you're listening, and you go, "My neighbor touched me, and I desire to know Jesus better because of the way He touched or she touched my life." You know, Jesus, just the same way that He came to live here on earth and took up residence in our neighborhood, He wants to come and take up residence in your life. Simply ask Him. And you can pray a simple prayer like this: "Lord Jesus, come take up residence in my life. I recognize that I need your help. I need you to be my Savior. I invite you to come and to dwell, to live, to pitch your tent in my life and make me new." If you've prayed that prayer today, send us a note. Let us know. We'd love to be able to walk with you as we see God work in you because of God working in all of us. May we walk together. As the pace of life this summer begins to crank up, slow down. Slow down to live called, sent to your neighborhood. May we be a people sent to CLT, to Fort Mill, to Lake Wylie, Gastonia. Interruptible, contagious of Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, building bridges through hospitality. So as we slow down, God can use us in our neighborhoods. Living sent makes an interruption into an opportunity for God to use us. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus into our neighborhood, into our lives. And Lord, just as the same way you sent Jesus into our neighborhoods, into our lives, send us into our neighborhoods to be Jesus, to be your representatives. Make us your dwelling place in our neighborhoods so that you can touch the lives around us. Teach us how to be sent, how to be interruptible, how to be hospitable. In Jesus' name, amen.